The scripture reading for today is Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10. The word of the Lord came to me. I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. But I protested, "Oh no, Lord God, look, I don't know how to speak since I am only a youth." Then the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a youth, for you will go to everywhere I send you to and speak wherever I tell you to. Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you to rescue you. This is the Lord's declaration." Then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and told me, "I have now filled your mouth with my words. See, I have appointed you today over nations and kingdoms, to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and demolish, to build and plant." The word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Mike, and associate pastor here. It's a joy to be with you, see you all this morning. And you can be turning to there, Jeremiah 1. Thank you, Colin, for reading our scripture. If you have a Bible in front of you, you can turn there as the kids are heading back to their class. I have with me a passport. You've probably seen one of these before. Maybe you have one, and I'm a little concerned that I brought it here if I drop it or lose it. If you see it around the building later, maybe you can return it to me. Just don't look at the mugshot inside. Just know that it's mine. But it's just on its own a little paper booklet, right? It's not all that impressive. But it was made specifically for me. Like I said, it's got my mugshot in it. It's got my name on it. Can't be used by you. It can only be used by me. Carrying this passport allows me to travel outside the country. I don't get in to another country by my own authority, but by what's written in here. And if you've ever taken the time to read what's in your passport, it says, "The Secretary of State of the United States of America hereby requests all whom it may concern to permit the citizen slash national of the United States named herein," that's me in this case, "to pass without delay or hindrance and in case of need to give all lawful aid and protection." That's a very important statement. So customs in another country can look at me and say, "Who are you? Why should we let you in?" And I give them my passport, and hopefully they say, "Okay, enjoy your stay." Because this passport identifies me as a U.S. citizen. It brings with it an authority. It, as it says, it should allow me to enter without delay or hindrance. And if I need help, to get help and aid and protection even. Now, if you know Christ as your Savior, you've been given an authority that's not your own authority. As a citizen of Christ's kingdom, you've been given this authority to advance God's mission in the world. We continue our series that we've been going through called Mystery Unraveled. We've been seeing God's unfolding plan of redemption and work in the world. We've seen his sovereign outworking of salvation. The last couple weeks, we've been in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've seen how God gifts every believer for the building up of the body and for the advance of God's mission in the world. Now, this morning, we turn back to this Old Testament example of this calling of the prophet Jeremiah. And this passage shows us that God's people have God's authority to advance God's mission in the world. But if you're anything like me, maybe sometimes you doubt yourself. You have what it takes to make a difference for the kingdom. The world is just too broken to be able to make a difference. You're just not qualified enough or gifted enough or skilled enough. You're too young or you're too old. You're not far enough along in your walk with Christ. Whatever it is, we all have excuses that tempt us to just sit on the sidelines. But the reality is, in Christ, we've all been called. We've all been equipped. And so let's look at Jeremiah's calling by God to see that we all can step confidently into God's plan for our lives with his presence and with his authority. Let's bow for prayer as we turn to this passage. Father, we give you thanks for these words of Scripture, so ancient and written to this specific prophet to speak to Judah and the nations so long ago, and yet these words speak to us today. So would you, by your Spirit, open our eyes and open our hearts. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So turn to Jeremiah 1 if you're not already there. Jeremiah chapter 1. This passage lays out, in chapter 1, verses 4 through 10, lays out God's plan for Jeremiah, God's promise to Jeremiah, and God's provision for Jeremiah. But start, let's just look at verses 4 and 5. The word of the Lord came to me. I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. See, Jeremiah lived in dark days. The northern kingdom had been destroyed. Judah's days were numbered. And yet, despite the people's sin, God still had not abandoned his people. And as was his practice, God would appoint a prophet to speak his word to his people. And that's what he does here. Now, we don't know if it was an audible voice that Jeremiah heard or a vision of some kind, but whatever it was unmistakably God breaking in and speaking. And notice how God just steps in, gives him his assignment. Now, we have no idea what Jeremiah's plans for life might have been up to this point, but it's clear that at this moment they change. This was the turning point for Jeremiah. This was the defining moment of his life. Look at this fourfold declaration of calling. I chose. I formed. I set apart. I appointed. So the initiative is God's alone. I chose is the word for knowing. Your translation might say, I knew you. Now, this isn't just a knowing intellectually. This is a relational word. This is an intimate knowing. In other words, God is saying, Jeremiah, I knew everything about you before you were even conceived. Formed is the same word we have in Genesis 2, where God formed Adam from the dust of the ground. It's related to the word for potter that comes up later in the book of Jeremiah. So these four verbs in verses 4 and 5 in this calling speak to an active, intimate involvement that God has in Jeremiah's life, again, before he was even conceived. So this call is directly and specifically to this man, Jeremiah, and yet this text certainly speaks to the sacredness of all human life. God's attention, God's care, God's heart are directed toward us, his creation, before we even exist. It speaks to God's nearness. God isn't just vaguely aware of you and your circumstances. God isn't just kind of waiting for you to impress him with your spirituality before he'll notice you or bless you. God takes the relational initiative, always. That's shown most clearly as he sent Jesus, his son, to the cross. Remember, we had rebelled against God. That's the context of God initiating our redemption. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so God breaks in, sovereignly, supernaturally, and he says to Jeremiah, I have plans for you. Like a musician crafting a musical instrument to play beautiful music, God has created, God has appointed Jeremiah to be a prophet. He says, a prophet to the nations. Now, he was primarily a prophet to the people of Judah, and yet, if you know the book of Jeremiah, he has a lot to say to the nations as well. But at this moment, as Jeremiah first hears these words from God, try to put yourself in his shoes. This calling comes out of nowhere. This is a big job, especially in Jeremiah's day. The people are in sin. They're not going to want to hear what he has to say. There's hostile nations around. How would you respond? Well, maybe like Jeremiah responded. Look at verse 6. But I protested, oh no, Lord, look, I don't know how to speak since I am only a youth. Oh no, Lord God. Those are four words that don't belong together, do they? It's kind of one of those dumb things we say sometimes. We don't realize how dumb it is until after it comes out of our mouth, sometimes not until long after. But he says, oh no, Lord God, look, I don't know how to speak since I'm only a youth. So he's got two excuses that he brings to God. First, I don't know how to speak. Does that sound familiar in terms of people being called in Scripture? Well, probably think of Moses, right? That was his protest. I'm not eloquent, Moses said. I can't speak well. That's what Jeremiah says here. Jeremiah's second excuse was that he is only a youth. Now, this word youth could be describing children, but the same word is also used of young men in Scripture, even soldiers. So we don't know exactly how old Jeremiah was when he heard this call from God. Possibly a teenager. Probably below 20. But God doesn't let him off easy with these excuses, does he? But instead of rebuking him harshly, God responds gently. So he's laid out his plan for Jeremiah, and now he follows up after Jeremiah protests. He follows up with a promise. Look at verse 7 and 8. Then the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth,' for you will go to everyone I send you to and speak whatever I tell you. Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you to rescue you. This is the Lord's declaration." So first Yahweh addresses the excuses. He says, don't say, Jeremiah, I'm only a youth. Why? Well, he says, because you'll go where I send you and say what I tell you. He sort of reminds Jeremiah. He reassures him who's who in this equation, right? It's like, I'm God, and I'm going to send you somewhere, and I'll tell you what to say. Remember when Moses said he couldn't speak? What was God's answer? Who made your mouth, Moses? Right? Get up and go. But back up to Jeremiah's calling. Remember, God chose, God formed, God set apart, God appointed, God knew what he was doing, in other words. He knew what he was doing creating us. He knew what he was doing creating you, equipping you uniquely. We were reminded 2 weeks ago that God has gifted by his Spirit all of us in Christ with spiritual gifts for the building up of the body, for the advancing of God's mission. So if you know Christ, that includes you. But some of us might be getting hung up on this idea of calling. Some people just know deep down, they just know what their calling is, right? I know God's called me to do X, Y, Z, and I'm just going to get after it and do it. If that's you, great. But a lot of us struggle with what our calling is. What does God really want me to do? What's God telling me? Now, if you feel like God hasn't made it clear what he wants you to do, well, I think Scripture gives us hope. I'd argue calling often has more to do with living by faith, just taking the next step that's right in front of us, rather than knowing the grand plan. Only God knows that anyway. And so often, calling has less to do with big life decisions and vocations as just taking the next step of faith. So focus on being the kind of Christian that you know God has already commanded you to be. And when those big life decisions come around, you'll be ready for them by the Spirit. Sometimes God's leading and what's in front of us, what God wants us to do, is abundantly clear. But oftentimes, faith is simply taking the next step with what's right in front of us. So Jeremiah's unique calling was to be a prophet, it says, to the nations. Your calling is to serve God in your spheres of influence, wherever God has placed you, to be faithful. Maybe you'd expand that for yourself and say, I believe God has called me to be a Christian businessman, a Christian businesswoman. So you focus on doing business as Christ would if he were you. Maybe your calling right now, part of your calling is to be a mom. And so you pour yourself as Christ would. You pour yourself into those kids and grandkids. Maybe your calling right now is to singleness. Maybe you believe deep down that's where God has called you, and maybe, on the other hand, you are struggling with that calling, whether that's for a season or for life. But whatever it is, this next step, this next season for you in your life, how can you live out your singleness in a way that points us all to greater devotion to Christ? If your calling right now is to be a student, how can you focus on loving God with all your mind? So you're not locked into just one thing for the rest of your life. But take a step in the direction you believe God is leading you. And let's work that out together in Christian community as we discern God's will together. But the baseline truth is God has created you intentionally. God has created you carefully. He knew everything about you before you were even conceived. He's uniquely gifted. He's uniquely equipped you for your good, for His glory. Some of us just need to hear that this morning. And if that's all you take away from the sermon, great. But our next step is to live this out. Our next step is to do what God has put in front of us to do, like Jeremiah is being called to do. Right? When God gives clear direction, we can often offer excuses like Jeremiah does. I know I do. Right? I could never do that, Lord. Oh no, Lord God. Are you sure you have the right person? I mean, look at his gifts over there. Look at her skills over there. Why me? Notice God's answer to Jeremiah's excuse of not being a good speaker. Notice what God doesn't say. He doesn't say, "Yes, you are, Jeremiah. You're a great speaker. Come on." He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that to Moses either. He doesn't say, "Moses, no. You're an amazing speaker. Pharaoh's going to be so impressed by your talent." He doesn't say that, does he? No. God could have made Moses, God could have made Jeremiah powerful orators, but it seems like God did not do that on purpose. God makes no mistakes. He created us just as we are. He gifted us just as we are. And so His calling in our lives doesn't depend on our strength, on our talent, but His. See, our weakness is actually part of the equation. Remember how Paul pleaded with the Lord to remove his thorn in the flesh? Humanly speaking, whatever it was holding Paul back. It was making life harder for Paul. From his perspective, it was making ministry harder for Paul. It was a hindrance to him. And so he pleaded with the Lord 3 times to take it away so he could be a more effective minister of the gospel. What was the Lord's response? "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness." See, Jesus is saying, "Wait a minute, Paul, your weakness is actually part of the equation. That's part of what I am using through you." And so Paul concludes, "Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may reside in me." So we need to be careful about using our weaknesses as an excuse, because God likes to use them to show how strong He is. See, Jeremiah said, I'm only a youth. But see, when it comes to God's calling, God's sovereign calling and equipping in your life and in my life, there is no, "but I'm only a blank." God is the initiator. We just need to show up. Look at verse 8 again. God's promise: "Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you to rescue you." This is the Lord's declaration. See, Yahweh knows that our excuses come from fear. So He repeats to Jeremiah this command repeated most often through all the Bible: "Do not fear." His calling is a daunting task, right? Any one of us would be afraid to take this job. But God says, "You have no reason to fear, Jeremiah, because I will be with you to rescue you." God's presence is His promise for Jeremiah. His protection on the mission. See, God doesn't call us to something without going with us and supporting us every step of the way. That's His promise to Jeremiah. What God doesn't promise Jeremiah or us is an easy time of it. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He had a hard ministry. He had a hard life. People didn't like his message. They didn't listen. His ministry was hardship. God's promise to him of rescue implies danger, that there's going to be something he needs to be rescued from. And so we can't sugarcoat calling, right? Like, step into God's calling and you'll have health and wealth and prosperity and happiness. That's what the health and wealth preachers want to tell us, but that's not what Scripture says. It's not what God promises. Jesus actually promised us the opposite. He said, you will have suffering. You will have trial. But Jesus said, be courageous because I've conquered the world. See, do you see the parallel to Jeremiah 1? Don't fear. It's going to be hard, but I will be with you, and that makes all the difference. This is God's promise, his constant, loving presence. We need to be reminded of this truth often because we forget. We fear. If you have Jeremiah 1 already open, just look down to the end of the chapter, verse 19. God has to remind him again of this already. We aren't even out of chapter 1 yet. Verse 19, they will fight against you but never prevail over you since I am with you to rescue you. And again he says, this is the Lord's declaration. This is the word of Yahweh. He reminds him again later in the book of Jeremiah, the same truth at a low point in his ministry. We need to hear this message constantly because we forget, because we fear. Don't fear, God tells us. I'm with you. So we have God's plan. We have God's promises to cling to as we step out in obedience to his calling. Let's look, lastly, at God's provision for Jeremiah, verses 9 and 10. Then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and told me, I have now filled your mouth with my words. See, I have appointed you today over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and demolish, to build and plant. So Jeremiah's ministry would have this twofold functioning of tearing down and building up, uprooting, planting. See, coming judgment was necessary to root out the idolatry, the rampant sin, to make way for restoration. But Jeremiah says the Lord reached out and touched his mouth, gave him the words that he would speak. This is a tangible sign. It's a symbolic gesture of his equipping, the calling and the promise. It's not magic. God didn't reach out and touch Jeremiah's mouth, and all of a sudden Jeremiah has superpowers. That's not what's happening here. But it's a sign to point him to this reality that, like us, he's going to tend to forget when things get hard. For Jeremiah, this was a sign of God's authority. This young man would speak boldly to nations and kingdoms, not on his own authority, but by the authority of the one who sent him. And is it that much different for us today? Centuries later, on mission as the church, Jesus sent us into the world to make disciples of all nations. He's given us his Spirit. Remember what Jesus promised us in Matthew 28 before ascending to the Father? He said, all authority, there's that word, authority, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples. Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. There again is that promise of presence to carry out his plan. Notice authority. I have authority, Jesus said, so go. It's not about us. It's about him. He's the initiator. He initiated restoring the relationship when we went astray. He's called us. He's equipped us. We go with his authority, not our own qualifications. And so if we feel inadequate, if we feel ill-prepared, if we have weaknesses, then we just need to get in line. This passage speaks to us on so many levels, but it reminds us of the authority that we've been given by God to carry out his mission. You know, like I said, this passport has my name in it, but it only has power because of the authority behind it. Otherwise, it's just paper. If you try to travel outside the country without it, you're probably not going to get very far. With your charm, with your charisma, could make a long list of all the reasons why they should let you in, and they'll probably just say, see you later. But if you have this passport, you've been authorized. The message inside from our government says you should be able to pass freely without delay and even to be protected if need be. See, Jesus said to us, I have been given all authority. So here, go. Go in my strength. Go in my authority. So what excuses hold you back from serving Christ faithfully where he's put you? How do those excuses hold up in light of our passage? Maybe God has been tugging at your heart about a big life calling, like being a missionary overseas. Maybe God's been tugging at your heart about serving your community in your spare time, right where you are. Maybe about sharing the gospel with a friend or neighbor. What excuses are holding you back? See, there's nothing better than knowing the presence of Christ. Knowing God, glorifying Him with our lives. And so we need to keep this truth before us. These promises, the provision of Christ with us, to silence the lies of the enemy, to remind us of what's true, to silence our fears, so we can step out in faith and in confidence with God's presence and with God's authority. Would you bow with me? Father, we thank you for this truth from your word. May we be like Jeremiah, who, though he protested, though he doubted himself, had faith and stepped out and obeyed your calling on his life. So we pray for ourselves individually. We pray for us as a body, the calling that you've put before us to reach our community for Christ, to be a light of your love. Help us more and more by faith to step out, not by our strength, not by our talents, what we can offer, but with your strength, with your authority. So equip us by your Spirit to serve you. Give us boldness, give us confidence to step out. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Let us stand together as we prepare to go.